Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Denver Nuggets, the defending champs, eliminate the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James last night in five games with a 108-106 victory over LA. Jamal Murray, who was questionable going into the game, scores 32 points, has a game winner. Joker is 25-20. LeBron, 30 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds in a closeout game for the opposition. 6 seasons in LA. Did win a championship, 2 Western Conference Finals, 4 playoff appearances, 2 seasons without the postseason, and now he has an opportunity, if he declines his player option, to become a free agent, potentially go somewhere else by way of a sign and trade, also, or just into cap space, which probably only means Philadelphia, although I don't think that's going to happen that way, personally. And he could potentially, of course, re-sign with the Lakers if he doesn't decline his option. A 3-year, $162 million extension, or maybe even a 2-year, $104 million extension with a player option on that second year to become a free agent after the upcoming season. The Los Angeles Lakers will have potentially 3 first-rounders to trade. They also have a variety of potential expiring contracts or contracts with 2 years left on them. They probably have more roster flexibility this summer in making logical moves than they've had in many years. But we're talking about LeBron James, who's turning 40 in December and will be entering year 22. The future at this point, guys, completely up in the air.
Yeah, but I'm just disgusted at how last night's game ended, though. I mean, the Lakers, you know, they win the challenge at 3 minutes when they called the foul on Anthony Davis when he's blocking Nikola Jokic's shot. And then Darvin Ham calls the challenge and wins the challenge, but the Lakers lose a timeout. And conversely, after Jamal Murray hits that shot with 3 seconds to go, the Lakers got to take the ball out of bounds from the end line, and they've got to go coast to coast, and they don't have the opportunity to call a timeout because they lost it in the challenge. They would have been able to advance the ball to half court and being able to get a decent shot with the amount of time left on the clock. So I just, that's frustrating, that rule. It's absolutely ridiculous, and Charles Barkley talked about it last night with the Inside the NBA TNT crew, but I don't understand the rule. It doesn't make sense. If your coach challenges and wins successfully, not once but twice, it shouldn't cost him a timeout in order to do so. Like, if you got to have timeouts to call a challenge, I get it, because you don't want to let coaches go crazy with challenging things and interrupt the flow of the game. You want it to be some punitive measure. But if you actually win the challenge, ergo the ref missing a call in a key game, I just don't think it should cost your team a timeout, because that timeout proved costly in the end for the Lakers.
Lakers conversation to be continued. Joining us now is our show ombudsman, if I could say that correctly. Of course, he is also a senior NFL insider for ESPN, Adam Schefter. As always, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Adam. All right, Adam, you know everything about everything. You do. I'm sorry. Like, that is a good label to have, and you have that label. What's LeBron going to do next year? Tell us right now, Shefty. What is LeBron doing next year?
He is expected to return. You could put it on the bottom line, and you could put that up there for me and Woj. LeBron expected to be back. That's what we believe, okay? And we'll see how that works out.
Why did you just throw Woj? You and Woj are legitimately good friends, and you realize what happens now if someone takes that seriously, what you just did to Woj, Shefty?
Well, you know what? Hold on. I remember last year, the very same thing here. It was at the end of the season, LeBron says he won't answer questions about his future with the Lakers, and then it comes out a few weeks later, these back, like, you really think that's the end for him? I mean, it could be, but I'd be really surprised. I don't think he's ready to walk away, and I think he wants to go play with his son, and I think he's still playing at a high level, and he's still this ambassador of the game and has so much to offer. Like, he's not – I don't think he's walking away from that.
No, it just depends on what team he's going to be on, obviously. All right, Jeff D., as we are now removed from the draft, is there anything that you thought was going to happen, that you thought was very close to happening based on your reporting, that did not happen that you would like to share with us in the world here? And blame Woj for speculating. Go ahead.
No, you know, there are a lot of interesting things that never got any legs, right? Like the Niners getting calls in their receivers, but it never went anywhere. They never got close to trading them. Last week when I called up as the editorial ombudsman of the show, where you're putting up that graphic, you know, the interesting part there was that the Patriots and Vikings had reached out to the Chargers to see if there was any interest in trading Justin Herbert, and got a flat no before they could even finish the question, which is how I knew there was no way in hell that they were drafting J.J. McCarthy, despite the fact that the odds had gone up the way that they had, like zero chance of that happening, just like there was zero chance of them trading Justin Herbert during the offseason. There were certain teams that wanted certain players, didn't happen. You know, I still think that when there was the run on quarterbacks, that if Michael Penix had been on the board at 13, I think the Raiders would have considered him strongly at that spot, naturally. Not hard to imagine that. So, again, if the Falcons hadn't picked him, I think the Raiders very well might have. Didn't happen. A lot of things like that. A lot of teams wanted certain players that went before their turn. The Rams tried to trade up for Brock Bowers. Didn't get up there. No team was willing to trade. A lot of little things like that, right?
Sure. Shefty, I want to get back to the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, we speculated before the draft that Brandon Ayuk, as long as he didn't sign that contract extension, could have potentially been on the move on draft weekend. Huh? That didn't materialize, but what the 49ers did do is draft two wide receivers within the top four rounds, including their first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall. So I'm curious to know from, you know, what you're hearing, what ends up happening with that wide receiver room in San Francisco the rest of this offseason?
Well, first and foremost, you know, teams sometimes draft. They draft for need. They draft best player. But they also draft knowing the particular contractual situations of players at a certain unit. So in this particular case, they've been trying to re-sign Brandon Ayuk to a long-term extension, and they have not been able to get it done. Do they get it done? I would imagine eventually they'll figure that out. It shouldn't be hard to do, but the price of the wide receiver market only continues to go up and up, making it more and more difficult to get that deal done. So you have Brandon Ayuk in the last year of his deal. You've got Juwan Jennings in the last year of his deal. And you've got Deebo Samuel in the last year of guaranteed money of his deal, has 2 years in his contract, but the last year of guaranteed money. So there are some questions there that go beyond just this season, and they have the ability, very simply, to carry Ayuk, Deebo, Jennings all year long without there being any issues. And right now, being that none of them were moved during draft weekend, you'd have to make the logical assumption and guess that they'll both be with the team this season, along with those other picks that they had, that they'll begin to break in and train and groom, and then they'll figure out who's back and who's not, like any other year. But they know that there are some decisions coming at that position. It's just that with the current situation, it feels like they could put them off for another year right now, unless somehow something develops that nobody foresees at this current time.
Adam, this was a quarterback-rich draft. We had six quarterbacks go in the first round, and the quarterback that we talked about probably the least heading into the draft was Bo Nix. The Broncos go up, and they get their guy. Sean Payton gets Bo Nix, and you had some interesting information after that pick about how strongly Sean Payton felt about Bo Nix. You actually had the nugget that he felt the same way as he did when he wanted to draft Patrick Mahomes back in 2017. Can you share with us a little bit more background on that? Why did Sean Payton feel so strongly about Bo Nix, that he not only wanted to draft him, but that he would make that Patrick Mahomes comparison?
Yeah, well, he had done so much work on Bo Nix, and what happened was they went out to work him out, private workout, right after his pro day at Oregon. And they went to the pro day, and then at about 5 o'clock that night, they gave Bo Nix 3 days of installation of the Broncos offense, And they said, here's our offense. We'll see you at 8 a.m. And Bo Nix showed up the next morning at 8 a.m. and knew their offense by the next morning. It was almost like they gave him all this material, said, you're taking your final tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and let's see how you do. And he aced the final in terms of what he knew. And after he aced the final in the classroom, they took him out on the field for about 90 minutes, and he threw footballs, and everything was right where you would hope and want and expect it to be. And they got done, and Sean Payton left, and he headed out to the rest of the group, and he's like, holy cow. And they already were big Bo Nix fans, but that day with him, I think, sealed the deal. And then from there, they just continued to do more and more work. Like, I think Bo Nix set an NCAA completion percentage record, and a lot of people were saying, well, all those throws were short little bubble screens and behind the line of scrimmage, big deal. And then they went and broke down all the other throws and found that his completion percentage downfield was higher than other people and that his throws were accurate there. And they made calls to people and did work, and everything that they turned up pointed back to him. And so back in 2017, when Sean Payton was the head coach of the Saints, he had the 11th pick. You know, he had a man crush on Patrick Mahomes in that draft. And the Chiefs traded up from the 20s to the Buffalo spot at 10 and took Mahomes before the Saints had a chance to draft him. And so just listening to the people around Sean and the way that he was talking about Bo Nix, he spoke about Bo Nix in this draft the way that he did Patrick Mahomes in that draft. Now, that doesn't mean that Bo Nix is going to be Patrick Mahomes. Let's be very clear. But Sean Payton absolutely saw something back then in Patrick Mahomes, and he absolutely sees something today in Bo Nix. And we'll see how it works out.
Shefty, just as a quick follow-up, because we know Patrick Mahomes set for the majority of his rookie year, is the expectation in Denver that Bo Nix will be the week one starter in 2024, or are they going to let slow roll this thing in terms of when they install him as their starting quarterback?
You know, I don't think there's an expectation right now, Chris. I think they're going to let it play out. And I do know that they're high on Jarrett Stidham, and we'll see how it shakes out. Look, here's the deal. When you're drafted 12th, or you're drafted, well, first, second, third, or 10th, you're going to have an opportunity to start in training camp. Now, the only one in this group of the six quarterbacks drafted in the first round who you would not think will have a realistic shot to start on opening day would be Michael Penix, right? Caleb Williams is going to start for the Bears. I would think that Jaden Daniels is starting for the Commanders. Drake May may not, actually. Drake May probably will not. I would think he'll be behind Jacoby as they groom him. But at some point this season, you would think that Drake May is going to get his chance. Penix will be behind Cousins. JJ will have a real chance to start. It'll depend on how the summer goes. And Bo Nix will have a chance to start. It'll depend on how the summer goes.
One more here with Adam Schefter, of course, brought to us as always by BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Adam to get 10% off your first month of online therapy. Adam, I'm about 1,000 years old. I handwrite all of my notes. I understand that's crazy still to this day, but I do this for a reason. And the reason I'm setting it up this way, I'm looking back at my handwritten notes from April 23rd. And on April 22nd, you wrote an article about things to keep an eye on for the draft at ESPN.com. And you said, what is up with the Falcons tampering investigation / Cousins? Could they get Penix at number 8? Yet everyone was shocked that Michael Penix Jr. was drafted number 8. Why, when you said it 1 week before they were going to do this, that he could be drafted there, why was everyone so shocked by this?
Because I just think people didn't think it was real. They didn't think that Atlanta would actually do it. They didn't think that Atlanta would take the 8th overall pick when everybody in every mock draft was picking them to pick Dallas Turner and go and take a quarterback when they had just given out that money. But you know, earlier in that column, I was talking about how there were some scouts and GMs and coaches who believed that they had second-round draft grades on Michael Penix and Bo Nix, but other teams disagreed. I knew there were other teams that disagreed. You know, I knew that there were other teams that had one grades on those guys. And then earlier in that article, I said Penix could go as high as number 8 to the Falcons. It's in that article for Monday. And I'm going to, I didn't know or think that they would pull the trigger, but I knew it was possible. And Atlanta obviously went ahead and did what they felt was best for that team. Raheem Morris loved the guy. The coaches there loved the guy. And they decided ultimately that Michael Penix would be somebody that they wanted. Now, you know, the other thing is that after Matt Ryan left, they cast it a lot with Desmond Ridder. And they really didn't even have another choice aside from Desmond Ridder. And Desmond Ridder didn't work out in Atlanta. And I think they were so haunted by not having any quarterbacks that they couldn't devote enough resources to quarterback. And so when you go and sign Cousins and then you go and draft Penix, they just feel like they're shoring up the position. Now, to me, when you're paying the quarterback that much money, it's always great if you can save some money with a first-round draft pick elsewhere, and instead of paying a big-time pass rusher, you know, free agent dollars like Danielle Hunter gets $25-plus million a year from the Texans, you can go pay Dallas Turner a rookie contract. But they just poured it all into the quarterback, and we'll see how it works out. Like, I got no problem with Michael Penix, the player, but the circumstances around it you can obviously debate. I think they could have traded back and gotten the guy anywhere in front of 13. Now you say, well, maybe they couldn't have. Well, the Jets wanted to trade up to 8. The Jets would have traded, and the Falcons could have slid back to number 10 at the very least and gotten, let's say, an extra 4th. So the Bears weren't taking Michael Penix at 9, so go to 10, get Michael Penix, get an extra 4, and go pick another defensive lineman. They didn't do that. You know, there's some things like that that you could debate barely, justifiably, but they love the player, and it's the most important position in sports. And if you love the player at the most important position in sports, I got no problem taking him in terms of that.
Shefty, thank you as always. We'll talk next week. Unless we screw up beforehand, you better call us and let us know we messed up, please. Thank you very much.
The editorial ombudsman will be watching.
All right. Thank you, Shefty. All right. A lot to digest there. Coming up, we will also get into the end of the Los Angeles Lakers season. Could it be the end of LeBron in L.A.? We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So what we just learned from Schefter, after we spent the better part of the weekend praising the New York Jets for having some restraint, for doing the right thing and taking an offensive lineman at 11, The Atlanta Falcons saved the New York Jets from themselves because the Jets wanted to get to 8. Presumably, they wanted to get there to take a wide receiver. That would be Romo Dunze.
And the Falcons basically said no because this is our guy. We can't risk going down. Somebody can come up like the Raiders ahead of us if Romo Dunze is off the board.
Yeah, if Romo Dunze is gone, then the Chicago Bears could trade back with the Broncos, with the Raiders, who could then come up and take the quarterback that you preferred at 10.
And I don't think the Falcons were going to take any quarterback. I think they were going to take that quarterback.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr., yeah.
I don't think they would have been like, all right, we'll take
They weren't in the JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix sweepstakes.
No. Yeah, McCarthy was still available. I forgot about that at that point. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, story of the day, as we've been talking about a ton, the Lakers losing to Denver last night. LeBron's sixth season with the Lakers comes to an end. He did win a title. Of course, we know that in the bubble. His average number of victories for his time with the Lakers is 42 wins a year. Now, that's not an 82-game schedule for two of those years because of the COVID years. An average is a 7 seed in terms of where they are. Maybe the wins increase. The 7 seed's hard to imagine. It increases with the amount of great Western Conference teams that we have right now in the NBA. All of that said, $51.1 million option, player option next year. LeBron James has an option to come back at that number, extend, maybe walk altogether, maybe work out a sign and trade. Smalls, do we think LeBron James played his last game as a Laker last night?
I don't. I know that we're examining this every which way, and I think Bronny and what Bronny elects to do is the huge X factor here, because LeBron has been really steadfast in telling us that he wants to play with his son before he ends up retiring, and we know that retirement is, we're closer to retirement than we are further away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just keep thinking, guys, about LeBron James, the brand, the franchise of LeBron James, and so much of that is rooted in LA. And with a brand like the Lakers. But I don't know. I'm pretty conflicted about this because I keep thinking about what I just said and the fact that the end is near and the opportunity that he may have to go elsewhere and potentially get another title. But I think in all likelihood, he ends up staying in LA. They end up rebooting things around him. And all of this speculation that we're about to do in the wake of LeBron James and the Lakers being bounced out the playoffs is going to be for naught, because I think he's going to stay there eventually.
Yeah, I think he has more pathways to win a championship if he goes elsewhere, and that elsewhere would be the Golden State Warriors. I think there is a clearer picture in terms of what that team would look like and what they would be able to get done in an increasingly competitive Western Conference. I think the path to win a championship with the Lakers is a lot narrower. And my question then becomes, well, who are the players that the Lakers could bring in that would make them markedly better, that would put them on par with the Golden State Warriors, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Oklahoma City Thunder?
You mean the Nuggets? Unless you're putting the Nuggets even above that, I guess, at this point, right?
Because, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So here's where we have to go with this. The question becomes, would they be willing to trade Austin Reeves? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah,
they have to be willing. Yeah, found him, but you got to be willing to trade him.
Anything not named LeBron and AD can go.
Okay. You sure about that on the AD part?
Absolutely. I'm sure about that on the AD part.
Okay. So here's the question then.
Because if you move on from LeBron or AD, your chances of contending for a championship are over. It's over.
So if the Lakers want to keep him, if the Lakers want to keep him, they need a third star, but they also need to do it in a way that is different than the way the Suns did it, where they keep their options and flexibility, right? So maybe not somebody making $50-some-odd million a year like Bradley Beal. Do you want Zach LaVine at $40
million?
No. Okay. Do they have enough to get Kevin Durant, and would the Suns trade him to the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, three tradable first-round picks based on what the Lakers are going to be in the aftermath of LeBron James. Yeah, I think that would be – that would probably be a good idea. And for the Lakers, it makes sense because you still have Anthony Davis on the contract. He still has $240 million remaining on that deal.
I think the Lakers would give up everything to get KD. I don't think the Suns would make that deal personally. Here's another one.
But here's the thing. They may not have a choice.
They may not have a choice. You're right.
Because of the luxury tax bill, it's going to be $116 million right now. Think about $116 million tax bill on top of the payroll. That's like $209 million. Which is the highest in the league next year.
Would you want Donovan Mitchell?
Does Donovan Mitchell make you a championship team in the Western Conference? Does it make you better than the Denver Nuggets? Does it make you better than Minnesota? Does it make you better than OKC? That is how you start the conversation around what you do with LeBron James. Because you've got to remember this. LeBron is looking at the same thing that we're looking at. He's seeing all of these young teams in the Western Conference, the three that we just mentioned, but then also you got other teams that are coming in the Western Conference. The Houston Rockets ain't that far off. The San Antonio Spurs with Wemby ain't going to be that far off. It won't be long before those teams are going to enter the chat. So the question then becomes, like, what are the pieces that we could put around LeBron and AD that would put them on that level where they could win a championship next year?
You know, I went into this conversation thinking we'd find somebody that makes a lot of sense for them that could put them on that level. I'm coming out of this conversation struggling with finding that person.
But that's why I said it's a much more narrow path if he stays with the Lakers versus if he leaves and goes somewhere else.
By saying that, though, and you're not wrong about that, but by saying that, we also have to acknowledge the flexibility they have this offseason is better than any of the offseasons prior to this for them. They have expiring contracts with guys that are playable. Like Rui Hachimura may not be a star, but he's absolutely a rotation player on a good team.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell, you rightfully are not a fan of.
You're talking about the flexibility they have since they've gotten LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
Because in the summer, they didn't, before they got AD.
Well, they had Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, et cetera. Assets, Josh Hart. I mean, they had a ton of assets. If you look back at that team now.
You're wondering why that team wasn't better.
Right. because LeBron didn't want that team. And I get it, right? I get it. He doesn't want to play with young players at this point in his career. But you have to then find a star caliber player that is good enough to join them, to put them in a championship caliber level, but not cash strap them or tax strap them where they can't get other guys' son style. That is not an easy task, to find that player that is part of a big three but allows you to have the rest of a roster that could beat Denver, Minnesota, or OKC.
The tax can't matter if you're Jeannie Buss.
But it does.
But it can't.
But that's the thing with the Lakers. Everybody assumes they're made of money. They're not.
They're not. I understand it. Family business. I get it. But it can't matter in the last year or two with LeBron James. It just can't. That can't be an impediment to this team trying to bring over a player or players that will allow LeBron to win a championship.
That's why
it cannot be. The financial implications cannot be prohibitive when it comes to going after a guy like KD or going after a guy like Kyrie. It just can't be.
Let's come back and discuss this, because I want to follow up with a question I want to ask you both. Are we sure that it's best for the Lakers to bring him back? And I'm saying that in a mutual kind of, we're doing this together sort of way. Plus, want to get your calls in on this at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Has the LeBron experience of the Lakers lived up to what you thought it would be? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, we're going to get Lakers calls in. A lot of people want to weigh in on LeBron James. Was that his final game with the Lakers? Did his tenure live up to what you expected in L.A.? But we left off here, and I asked you guys a question. I want you to answer this before we get to the call, Smalls, on this. Are we sure the Lakers should blindly want LeBron back, or should they explore the conversation with him about what it could look like for all parties involved with him going somewhere else?
I think the Lakers are a brand that needs stars. They thrive on having stars. LeBron James is still a player, even at this point in his career, that has very effective production, especially in the postseason, and can be a guy to help you win a championship. I do not think it would behoove the LA Lakers, for many reasons, to consider life beyond LeBron James unless he initiates that conversation.
1,000% agree, Smalls. Like, cosign, retweet. The Lakers aren't a draft and develop franchise. They are a star-driven franchise. That's what they do. So why would you jettison LeBron James or Anthony Davis, for that matter? If you move on from either one of them, your championship window is closed. Mm-hmm. And there's no telling when it's going to reopen. So you ride it out as long as possible. And if LeBron wants to stay there, then you find a way to make it work. And that's why I have angst as a Lakers fan, because what he said post-game, and, you know, the ambiguity that he said, you know, the comments when asked, you know, whether he's contemplated that being his last game in a Laker uniform, to me, it worries me, because everybody understands that LeBron James has maximum leverage because the Lakers have no championship aspirations without him. So the fact that he would even entertain going somewhere else makes me think that this is a real possibility that he could leave, as opposed to him trying to exert more leverage or pressure Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss into doing exactly what he wants around him with the Lakers this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, indicating that their championship window may be closed if he leaves would indicate it's open now, and I'm just not sure that it is. I just don't know that you can pull out all the stops to keep him. That's it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. In years past, pull out all the stops. Do whatever it takes. If he wants to go, I don't know that you want to stand in his way right now. I think it could be best for all involved. Andre in Mississippi, listening on 105.9 in Mississippi. What's up, Andre?
What's going on, guys, this morning?
What's up, Andre?
Hey, I'm a diehard Laker fan, man. To be honest with you, I would trade LeBron James today. Get rid of him while he still has value. People don't realize that this man is 40 years old. This is the time to trade him. We know he want to play two or three more years to play with his son. This is the time to get rid of him and get some younger guys in there. The new face of the NBA. The Lakers is a team full of stars. We all know this. So let's get rid of LeBron right now while we can get something for him.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to maximize the return on that because he's got a player option. So if you're LeBron James, what sense does it make to gut the team that they're trading you to when the goal is to, once you get to said team, to win a championship? So I just, like, I hear what you're saying, but if you're the Lakers, you're not initiating those conversations. Now, we did hear rumblings during the regular season about LeBron and the Golden State Warriors and, you know, the Lakers being, you know, approached or potentially facilitating a path for LeBron to be able to join Steph Curry and Draymond Green. We know that Dre and LeBron are really close friends, and they wanted to play together for some time. So I don't know if that's on the table. If it is and LeBron James is considering leaving, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better landing spot in order for him to compete for a championship. But I just, you know, if you're a Lakers fan, why would you want to jettison LeBron James? That doesn't look good if you're that franchise, because the whole selling point of the Lakers brand is that stars can come here and have success on and off the court.
You actually just laid out exactly the type of team that he has to go to based on what you're saying. It's a really interesting thing. You need a team that has a core that they don't want to give up on, but it's actually not good enough to win, and a group of young players that are not ready to win yet, but that another team would want. What do I mean by that? Using your example, Golden State does not want to give up on Curry, Thompson, or Green. They don't. They're not good enough at this point to win just the three of them. They have a core of young players also in Kuminga, Pods, Trayce Jackson-Davis that another team would want. So you need a fourth star, and that wouldn't disrupt the core, and giving up young players that another team would want. Cleveland, in a weird way, has that, right? You think about a core of Mitchell and Jared Allen, and then you give up Mobley and Garland.
Donovan Mitchell doesn't want to be there.
Right, though. Or flip it. Well, he would be if LeBron was there, I'm sure. I'm sure that would rethink it. Or you have a core of Butler and Adebayo, and you give up Hawkes and Jovic. Right, I'm saying it's interesting that you would look at that, and there are probably other teams out there.
Yeah, but I mean, the other two teams that you brought up don't come close to what the Golden State Warriors
Not even close. I agree.
Not even close.
I agree. Go ahead, Small. Sorry.
Well, just real quick, CeCe, I just keep thinking, though, about LeBron James and his mentality, and even if joining forces with Steph and the Golden State Warriors is potentially his best path to a title, do you think he would be scared off by getting the KD treatment? I just think about the ego involved too, and the way that some people would view LeBron James if he had to defect to Golden State in order to try and win another title.
Well, he won a title in LA, so it's mission accomplished. He's won a title everywhere he's played. He's got four finals MVPs. If he would be able to go to Golden State and win a fifth title, and oh, by the way, five finals MVPs, I think that adds to the lore and the legend. It doesn't take away from it. Because let's be honest, this Golden State team is not competing unless they make a significant move. They weren't in the playoffs this year. They got bounced in the play-in. So, I mean, I look at the scenario. It's not the same as when KD left Oklahoma City for the Golden State Warriors, because Oklahoma City, in a playoff series against the Warriors the year prior, had a 3-1 lead and blew it. And Golden State won a championship. So it's a different circumstance that LeBron would be walking into in Golden State as opposed to what KD had. So I think that's apples and wrenches when we try to compare it and build the narrative that LeBron wouldn't get full credit for being able to win a fifth championship if it's in Golden State.
But him going to Miami was at a certain point in his career, and he needed to break through. And while a lot of people hated the move at the time, since then, he's never not been the number one guy. He is the magnetic force field that everything else revolves around wherever he goes. And if he goes to Golden State, even though he's still LeBron James, he has to have deference to Steph and to Draymond and whoever else is there, and to Steve Kerr, to people who have built this organization up to what it is. And I just wonder how that balancing act would play out and if that's something that he's truly interested in.
Well, you already did it in Miami with Dwayne Wade.
But that was at a different stage in his career, though.
Sure, I guess I get it, but Dwayne Wade had won a championship. It was Wade team. It was, you know, Wade County. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a thing. And Dwayne Wade got to a point and said, yeah, I've got to defer. It's LeBron's team. I don't know if they have to have that same conversation if he would want to go play with Steph. But the fact that he's put it out there that he does want to play with Steph, or he would like to play with Steph at some point in his career, the fact that it was rumored throughout the regular season, the fact that he has a close relationship with Draymond Green, it feels like from a chemistry standpoint and an ego standpoint, they would be able to figure out a way to make it work. Because I think all of them are at the stage in their career now where they realize they need each other. Otherwise, ain't nobody winning a title.
I do wonder whether or not this whole Warriors conversation, I wonder if he'd ever consider trying to get the Warriors to join him instead of the other way. Steph ain't going, but Clay's a free agent. Draymond trade, you know, make a trade offer to the Warriors for Draymond. I mean, you could go the other way on this. He could play with the Warriors.
To one of the others? Why would I want to play with the Pips and not Gladys Knight?
Because you get to keep Anthony Davis and you don't have to move.
Nah.
I think every single thing with LeBron James this summer is on the table, from drafting his son to a new coach to a new team to a new roster. Everything at this point is on the table.
Yeah, but if you're the Lakers, you're not trading LeBron James unless LeBron James decides he wants to go.
Fair. But you also may not be mad if he says that. It's different than years past.
Yeah, you may not be mad. You'll facilitate wherever he wants to go.
Happily, maybe.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I could be a 7 seed and win 42 games with or without you. Monica McNutt, ESPN NBA analyst, will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Score the seats and the memories this spring with Vivid Seats, your home for every buzzer beater, puck drop, and home run. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. And with 100% buyer guarantee, Vivid Seats gives you the peace of mind for the ultimate fan experience. Celebrate your fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. You know, there is another aspect of this LeBron conversation. If you were the Los Angeles Lakers and Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, said to you, he'll come back, he'll sign the extension, he'll be there, but you have to draft his son, would you do it?
Yes. Yes. You acquiesce to whatever LeBron James wants.
At this point in his career?
Hell yeah. It's about how you treat the stars, man. Even if you think, as constituted, the team can't win a championship, doing right by LeBron James, the second greatest player in NBA history, goes a long ways to the perception of your franchise in league circles. It's about making sure that you remain an attractive destination for players. Guys already want to go to Southern California for the sunshine. They already want to play with Big Brother because nobody wants to go with the Clippers, even though Steve Ballmer has a fancy new arena. Like, it's about the Lakers. And you have to make sure you maintain that. And the way to do that in the twilight of LeBron James's career is making sure you do right by him. And to me, if he wants to play with his son, Bronny, then you find a way to be able to draft that dude.
Yeah, I agree. I hate to say that he's earned that right, because at the end of the day, it's all about hanging banners. And if you don't think that that's the correct basketball move, you probably shouldn't do it. But LeBron James transcends so much that I think you kind of got to acquiesce to what he wants in the situation. And if bringing his son in is that, then so be it. And not that LeBron James doesn't give 120% at every point, but I just think how motivated he would be to win with his son on the team. And that's another thing I would consider, certainly, if I was the Lakers and that's what LeBron wanted.
I would not do it. If I did not think he was good enough to be on our team, which I'm not saying he is or he isn't.
Yeah,
or
he clearly is. The guy was one rebound shy of a 30-point triple-double.
No, Bronny.
Are you talking about Bronny?
Yeah. I'm saying I don't know if he's good enough to be on the team. I have no idea, right? Based on his college career, it would not indicate that he would be good enough to be on the Lakers.
He might not be in the rotation, but he could be on the team. You got 15 roster spots.
And LeBron
Everybody
James.
Everybody ain't playing.
And listen, LeBron James has earned the right to have at least one, I hate to be disrespectful like this, inconsequential roster spot.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He has. What we've seen is he doesn't get to pick the starting point guard in Russell Westbrook. He does get to pick a two-way player, right?
Sure.
No doubt. But the problem is this. This is where I try to separate this. If I just look at what the Lakers have gotten out of LeBron James, they've gotten a championship, which is awesome. Okay, absolutely awesome. But has he given my franchise enough that for the next 3 years, I'm giving it to him? And my answer is no. Has he given the league enough? Absolutely. Did he give the Cavs enough? Absolutely. The Lakers are different. The Lakers are a different franchise. I am not going to do every single thing he asked me to do. If he wants to be here, meaning LA, I will pay him the entirety of the 3-year, 100 and whatever million dollar contract. I'm not going to definitely draft his son, and I'm not going to keep everybody on the team that he wants.
You're looking at it the wrong way. You're asking yourself, has LeBron James done enough here? And it's about LeBron James being treated the right way as the star player for the Lakers, and that maintaining that perception that that's what the Lakers always do when it comes to stars that decide to come to Southern California.
Like, yeah, I don't buy that.
It's about maintaining that.
I don't think there's going to be a single franchise that cannot get a star based on the way that people have been treated. We have a lot of other franchises that have treated people poorly that if they offer the highest dollar figure, stars will go there.
What more, though, Evan, do you think LeBron could have done?
Hold on. Time out. I'm not just going to let you say that. How can you say that? Look at how bad the New York Knicks were. Look how abysmal they were. They couldn't get a star to save their life. They traded off Kristaps Porzingis for air, for cap space in 2019. And who decided to come? They didn't get Kawhi Leonard. They didn't get Klay Thompson. They didn't get Kevin Durant. They didn't get Kyrie Irving. They didn't get none of those dudes.
Yeah.
They ended up settling for Julius Randle and a lot of one-on-one contracts, guys that had a year deal with a team option the following season. That's what they had to do. They didn't become the cool thing to do until now. And you're talking about two decades of futility. That reputation preceded them when it came to free agents. So how can you sit there and say that your reputation on the streets doesn't matter when it comes to attracting stars?
Because what the Knicks have done to players and how they've treated players would be a lot different than saying to a 40-year-old LeBron James, it's time to maybe move on for all of us involved. They gave him 6 years. He gave them 6 years. He brought them a championship. This is not saying goodbye to a 22-year-old and not paying them a certain amount of money. Plus, he is going to be your business partner at some point anyway. Like, he's going to have to get over it, and they're going to have to get over it. He'll own a team, and Jeannie Buss and LeBron James will be partners within the league. I don't look at this as saying goodbye to some star and treating somebody poorly. I promise you, if they have enough cap space and they offer Paul George a max contract, he'll walk right across to them instead of playing for the Clippers. I don't buy for a second that saying goodbye to LeBron is going to hurt anybody in this league. I just don't. I think that people will always go to the Lakers for the highest bidder. Smalls, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just wondering because you were outlining what LeBron had done with the Lakers and kind of suggesting that it hadn't been enough for him to be able to wield this power over the organization. He did hang a banner.
Yep.
But what else really has he not done to warrant that privilege? What else is he lacking there?
It's not that as much as it is like his tenure in LA with the Western Conference the way it is not going to give you any indication that you can win another one. He's 40 years old. Or he's going to be 40 years old. There's nothing that can happen here to make him potentially win another one. There's just nothing. I mean, you're looking at a situation that you have to be realistic. The way in which this conference is going is not going to the 40-year-old and the 30-something without young players around him. We have a changing of the guard in the NBA right now. Anthony Edwards, to your credit, CeCe, you've been hyping him. He's going to be the face.
Yeah.
Jokic ain't going anywhere involuntarily. You can see him walking away and going to be on his farm for however many years, right? Okay, the Spurs aren't going anywhere. What the Lakers' average victories with LeBron James is 42 and a 7 seed. I don't need to do everything he asked me to do.
Monica, I need you to inject some sober-mindedness. Some facts into this conversation.
I just
because
gave you facts.
Evan Cohen is trying to lay it out and saying that the Lakers are better off jettisoning LeBron.
That's
James
not what
as,
I said.
As opposed to trying to keep
jettisoning
him.
Is a
that's not
vocabulary.
What I said.
That's what I'm saying. Trying
that's
to
get, not what I said.
Getting rid of LeBron James.
Not what I
is
said.
A good thing for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Again, not what I said.
Okay, I didn't hear the whole thing, Evan, because literally we were sitting in a green room trying to concoct trades that would make sense for the Lakers. I do believe that LeBron James is the single biggest asset that the Lakers have. I will put it that way. Do I think that they should be moving off of him? No. But when you look, literally, Jay Will and I were sitting there discussing this. They need a guy between the tier of All-Star and Russell and Reeves. There are not many guys that fit into that slight segment of the population that are also going to be available. Ideally, now this would be insane for Boston not to lock this guy up. But you're looking for a guy like Derek White, right? You're looking for, maybe you can make a conversation about Malik Monk. Like, Sacramento has to have some conversations. Do you buy that he can move into a starter role after having competed for six? Oh, I forgot
they
about that. You're
have,
right.
Have,
duh.
Yeah.
That, not going back to the Lakers.
No.
That's out. So I don't know. I really don't know. And then, if you guys want to play super, like, fantasy land, KD's unhappy in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Has he had a place in his career where he's like, all right, bet. Finnick will team up and clean up another ring. KD, LeBron, and AD? Like, that's a nightmare. And it's going to bring you some of the defensive issues that you had. Solve those.
If Monica wants to stay, she can stay. If not, she'll go to Get Up. We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.